This is Ted Kennedy. The national unemployment rate hits 7%. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, Republicans keep saying the recession's ending, but the unemployment rate's climbing. It's now 7% for the nation, over 9% in some states. The real scandal of this Republican recession is the hard-nosed attitude of the Bush administration on the unemployed. After Reagan-era budget cuts, only 1 in 3 workers who lose their jobs even qualify for unemployment insurance. The Bush administration refuses to do what was done in past recessions under both Republican and Democratic administrations, create an emergency fund for the long-term unemployed when their regular benefits run out. I know you think unemployment is someone else's problem, Al. Wall Street may be okay, but Main Street's hurting. You're turning decent, hard-working, tax-paying middle-class Americans into an army of the new poor. Let them eat cake, maybe politically correct Republican philosophy, Al, but it's unacceptable economic policy.
Ted, wipe that cake frosting off your tie and face up to the facts. For 50 years, our unemployment insurance systems have offered solid help to workers who honestly deserve it. Ted, these regular unemployment benefits last for 26 weeks, and most states offer up to 13 weeks more if the need is great. I call that 9 months of pretty good insurance to help people get over the hump of not having a job. Ted, the recession has turned around, and even your Harvard economist chums will tell you that unemployment is the last indicator to change, not the first. There is always a lag time delay with the employment rate. Ted, stop hoping and moping to see people suffer just so you can try to give Republicans the heat. Help us stimulate growth and new jobs, not generate hot air. You do take the cake. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on whether patients should be told if their doctor or dentist has AIDS. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Shouldn't all Americans have the critical right to know if their doctor or dentist can infect them with AIDS? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, so far only a very few Americans have died from contracting AIDS from their doctor or dentist, but with 7,000 healthcare professionals already testing positive to the HIV virus, we have no idea how many patients have been exposed. Many Americans feel they should have the right to know if these persons could give them AIDS. While the chance of contracting the disease from a health professional is so very slim, it remains a possibility as long as the public is kept in the dark. Ted, the best defense against AIDS is plain speaking and honesty. When other human lives are at stake, too, everyone should open up and fight this terrible, wasting disease head-on. It's ridiculous to lose an innocent life just because we won't talk about the problem. Absurd.
Al, the shocking case of the young woman in Florida who was infected with the AIDS virus by her dentist demonstrates the urgency of developing more effective ways to prevent such tragedies in the future. The health guidelines in effect in recent years should be tightened. It's a two-way street, Al. We need stronger regulations to prevent doctors and dentists from infecting their patients with the AIDS virus. But we also need stronger regulations to protect healthcare workers from being infected by patients who have the virus. The current situation is unacceptable on both sides. Patients are increasingly worried about their doctor's HIV status, and doctors are increasingly worried about their patient's status. The U.S. Public Health Service has just proposed new guidelines to deal with the problem in a responsible way. Some politicians would rather fan public fears with half-baked remedies that make the problem worse. I hope you're not one of those, Al. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next. I'm putting fly-by-night gun dealers out of business. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. It's time for Congress to crack down on phony gun dealers. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, after years of kowtowing to the National Rifle Association, Congress is finally mustering the courage to require a waiting period and background check on handgun purchases. So every Bonnie and Clyde can't walk into the corner gun shop, walk out with a handgun, and shoot up the neighborhood. But what about phony handgun dealers? To get a dealer's license, you just mail a simple form and $30 to the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. No questions asked. Once you've got the license, whether you're a legitimate business or not, you can order firearms wholesale, by the truckload. One crook in Michigan got a license, ordered 2,000 assault rifles and other guns, and sold them on the black market. That's disgraceful, Al. We need tough restrictions on who can buy a gun, and even tougher restrictions on who can be a gun dealer.
Ted, you have pretty good aim when you're shooting from the hip. Too bad you fire so many blanks. I agree that we should tighten up the loophole that allows a single city like Detroit to have more than 7,200 federally licensed gun dealers. Absurd figure. The majority of those dealers sell their guns out on the street and through the black market, where a gun sells for 300 to 400% more than what a legitimate store would charge. But the waiting period law to purchase a gun, which you ram through the Senate, won't do one darn thing to fix that problem. Ted, stop always shooting yourself in the foot by thinking the federal government is not doing anything to curb the phony gun dealers. In the last 2 years alone, the U.S. attorneys have brought criminal charges against more than 270 licensed gun dealers. Now that's hitting the old bullseye. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the need to do a better job of testing students. Tune in Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The first step to better our education system is to improve the way we test our students. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, you always hype and rattle the chandeliers about the need to do more for education, but the real truth is that the federal government only chips in with 8% of all of the cost of primary and secondary learning. There is one role the feds can play in education, and that's in the area of testing. How can we improve what we teach if we don't have first a clear idea where a student is strong or weak? Testing also gives the chance to gather vital information from all different states and regions, giving our teachers a better sense of what methods work and which ones fail. Ted, this good common sense approach for testing is always fought by Democrats on every front. Unions gotcha? You always try to test me, Ted. This one is for you. Don't fail it and don't get testy.
Al, we need objective measures of student performance, but it's far from clear that what's called for are national tests of the sort recommended by President Bush in his education proposals. As you point out, Al, education in the United States is primarily a state and local responsibility, and properly so. Our schools have problems, but one of their greatest strengths is their diversity. Individual schools have different needs and different ways of seeking the goal we all share of educational excellence. What works in Massachusetts may not be best for Wyoming. Congress and the administration have always been reluctant to step in with heavy-handed, one-size-fits-all policies that mandate conformity. Yet that's exactly what the Bush administration is proposing. National exams in five different subjects for every student in 4th, 8th, and 12th grade. That's a heavy dose of Uncle Sam in the classroom, Al. A conservative like you should want to go slow. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Does President Bush want a civil rights bill in 1991 or a campaign issue in 1992? In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, after all the hullabaloo on civil rights and all of President Bush's smokescreen about quotas, the fog is lifting. The whole debate is boiling down to one very simple question. Should employers be allowed to discriminate against women and minorities by using hiring tests that have no relation to their ability to do the job? Two examples, Al. Can employers discriminate against minorities by refusing to hire janitors without a high school diploma? Can they discriminate against women by rejecting single parents with children? Republican Senator Jack Danforth of Missouri deserves credit for cutting through President Bush's Willie Horton tactics and demonstrating what's at stake. Phony job qualifications are unfair if they encourage race and sex discrimination. Banning that kind of bigotry has everything to do with prohibiting job discrimination and nothing to do with quotas.
Willie Horton, tell us about the Massachusetts miracle, Ted. The only fog I ever see comes out of your ears, and I thought it was steam. Don't blame President Bush for stalling on civil rights. That bill left the House like a speeding locomotive, but when it reached the Senate, you Democrats lost the motive part of it, and now what's left is just plain loco. Ted, Senate Republicans have been bumping Democrats for weeks to get moving on Bush's bill. We want to talk about fairness and how quotas do more harm than good. So cut the race talk, which you love, and let's get down to the real debate. To hear you babble, people might forget it's already illegal to discriminate by race or sex. All your bill would do is scare companies into hiring by race just to keep from getting sued. Get real and move our fine country away from legal discrimination that favors only minorities. It's still discrimination, racism in reverse. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on getting Israel to agree to join in peace talks. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Should Israel agree to sit down at a peace conference table and discuss its terrible problems with Arab neighbors? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, the Gulf War was one splendid victory against the ruthless scourge of a dictator, Saddam Hussein. We tossed him out of Kuwait on his can with a show of international unity which included most of his Arab neighbors. When it was all over, the jihad he thundered for was shunned by the Arab nations, and the world became hopeful that the eternal problems plaguing the Middle East might be resolved in a peace conference with Israel. Ted, sitting down to talk never hurt anyone, anywhere. Giving each other the old ICE treatment won't solve a thing. You've always been in Israel's corner, Ted. So have I. Time to tell our friends to sit down and begin a dialogue. They have nothing to lose, and the world has everything to gain.
Al, in fact, Israel has a lot to lose from the wrong kind of Middle East peace conference. That's why finding the right formula for the conference is so excruciatingly difficult. President Bush and Secretary of State Jim Baker deserve credit for their perseverance, and their efforts are paying off. Syria's acceptance of the administration's plan for the peace conference is a major breakthrough. We all remember the Camp David peace process, Al, when Israel and Egypt buried the hatchet and resolved their differences. If a similar agreement can be reached between Israel and its bitter enemy, Syria, the Middle East will be taking a giant step towards peace and will gain momentum to solve the difficult remaining problems of the West Bank and the Palestinians. The end of the Cold War has already changed the face of Europe and U.S.-Soviet relations. With a little luck, Al, it will also change the face of the Middle East. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on South Africa's sanctions. President Bush ended them too fast. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. It was premature for the White House to terminate U.S. economic sanctions against South Africa. But President Bush went ahead and did it anyway. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, no one denies South Africa has made progress towards ending apartheid, but in its unseemly rush to reward that racist government, the Bush administration went too far too soon. The president suddenly ended the U.S. economic sanctions responsible for so much of the progress already achieved. The statute imposing the sanctions contains strict conditions that have not been met by any stretch of even the right wing's imagination, Al. Tilting towards racism is wrong. The United States should not be so easily giving up our most powerful weapon against apartheid. We all know what's going on, Al. American firms are desperate to resume business as usual with the apartheid regime. Once again, in the councils of the Bush administration, private business profits have collided with basic human rights, and human rights have lost.
Bosh, Ted. When Congress imposed sanctions, we laid down a marker of five specific conditions that had to be met before lifting them. Those included abolishing the passbook laws, the very dark heart of apartheid, as well as laws restricting where people live. Ted, South Africa's fine President de Klerk should be receiving your praise, not your scorn, since every single condition we set down in the law has been met. Now you want to move the goalpost, change the rules in the middle of the old game, and whine, it's not enough. Where is your integrity, Ted? The awesome progress South Africa made should be rewarded by the U.S. in living up to its end of the bargain. Lift these sanctions and help South Africa build its economy back so thousands of black workers hurt by sanctions can get jobs again and black-majority government can succeed. Ted, you don't seem to care who suffers as long as your racist aspersions are cast. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on Judge Clarence Thomas being nominated for the Supreme Court. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. President Bush has nominated Judge Clarence Thomas to the U.S. Supreme Court. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, no sensible person objects to President Bush nominating Clarence Thomas to the Supreme Court because he's black. But venomous critics, sharpening their tongues for the fall confirmation, have said some pretty awful and ugly things. Virginia Governor Doug Wilder attacked Thomas for being a Catholic. Absurd. Now, President, Patricia Ireland said, and I quote, "We're going to bork him. We need to kill him politically." Nice lady. Ted, civil rights were built on tolerance, but you're not ready for a black conservative. What a sad, sad thing if mainstream present-day politics will only accept blacks if they are PC, politically correct, and liberal. Come on, Ted, open up that closed mind of yours and stamp out this awful prejudice. Judge Thomas deserves a fair and full hearing. No tricks.
Al, in Judge Thomas's case, PC seems to stand for politically conservative, not politically correct. The question is, how conservative? If he's the right nominee for the Supreme Court, he'll be confirmed. If he's the far-right nominee, he probably won't. That's why Robert Bork was turned down, because he was outside the mainstream. After so many Reagan and Bush appointments, the court is already tilting heavily to the right. When people look at the Supreme Court, they don't want to see a Leaning Tower of Pisa. True, Judge Thomas was confirmed for his current position on the lower federal court, but the Supreme Court is different. That's why the confirmation hearings are important. Put your rubber stamp away, Al. The Senate has a constitutional responsibility to ensure that Supreme Court nominees support the fundamental liberties that are the birthright of every American. I intend to do all I can to see that the Senate meets that responsibility. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Every eligible child deserves the benefit of the Head Start program. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, study after study demonstrates that investment in early childhood education works. For every dollar spent on programs like Head Start, the federal government saves $5 in future costs for welfare, unemployment compensation, and crime. Head Start has a 25-year record of proven success. After all these years, it's a major scandal that only one out of three eligible children has access to it. It's as though we created Social Security and Medicare and then said only one out of three elderly Americans can have it. We don't do that to our senior citizens, Al, and we shouldn't do it to our children. Now, Democratic legislation is moving forward in Congress to make Head Start available to every eligible 3-, 4-, and 5-year-old. Make it bipartisan, Al. It may be the most sensible investment you'll ever make in the nation's future.
Ted, agreed. Head Start has a proven track record in helping deserving kids. That's why our fine Republican President George Bush continues to push for increased funding in each year. He asked Congress for $1.5 billion in 90 and upped his request to $2 billion for the coming year. Ted, the only scandal I see here is your political posturing to try to make the American people think Republicans don't really care if needy kids get access to Head Start. That's pure baloney and thick slice, too. Head Start began 26 years ago as a modest summer program and has grown today into a major beacon of hope for poor communities. Besides nutrition, health screening, and educational enrichment for kids, Head Start also helps train parents on how to make certain their children get the love and attention they need. Ted, Republicans have always helped this success story grow. Try to keep up, will you, Ted? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Should only the intellectually elite in this land have a place in government service? In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, a couple of weeks ago, you personally savaged the nomination of Dr. Carol Iannone to join the advisory board of the National Endowment for the Humanities. This unpaid position doesn't carry much notoriety, but you still gleefully torpedoed this nomination, claiming she was not qualified. Climb down from your high ivory tower, pal. Carol Iannone was one excellent appointment for the advisory board. Maybe she didn't go to Harvard, but that's because she had to work full-time to pay her own way through school while she built her fine reputation. You tore it down. Maybe I'm crazy, Ted, but I think that makes Carol Iannone a little more special than some of your intellectual snob friends who don't really know the real world or want to. Stop pushing this politically correct garbage. Let's hear your feeble excuse on this one.
Al, you right-wingers are just squealing because one of your own was rejected by the Senate. This time, ideology was not the issue. Carol Iannone has a First Amendment right to say or print whatever she wants, but she didn't even get to first base with her qualifications to serve on that Federal Council on the Humanities. That's why the Senate rejected her. Distinguished conservative nominees have been approved for that position in the past, and they'll continue to be approved in the future. But no amount of right-wing tantrums or phony rhetoric about ideology can cover up this particular nominee's lack of qualifications. It wasn't even close. When the American Bar Association says nominees aren't qualified to be judges, the Senate turns them down. That's what the respected scholarly associations across the country said about this nominee. She wasn't qualified to serve on that federal council, Al, and the Senate was right to turn her down. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on emergency assistance for workers who lost their jobs in this recession. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Democrats have a jobs policy for America. The Bush administration stays busy on foreign policy. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, President Bush is off on yet another summit, but the problems he leaves behind are beginning to pile up. The most urgent, neglected problem is the growing number of jobless Americans whose unemployment benefits are running out. The Bush recession is 1 year old this month. Tens of thousands of working men and women have lost their unemployment compensation because their 26 weeks of benefit are now exhausted. That's all the protection the administration wanted, because they kept saying the recession would be over long before now. The Budget Act authorizes Congress and the administration to declare an emergency and provide additional benefits, but we have to do it together. President Bush has already used the emergency power to send aid to foreign countries. Unemployment here at home is an emergency too, Al. How can President Bush veto help for unemployed Americans?
Veto? What veto? President Bush hasn't vetoed a single bill extending unemployment benefits. Truth is that the Senate finally finished action in committee on this bill and hopes to move it to the floor this week. But the Senate bill does differ with legislation passed by the House. Before the President decides what he will do, Congress must agree what it will do. Ted, the buck that you're trying to pass this time will cost taxpayers $5.8 billion, and you do it without finding any present way to pay for it. That sure won't help the economy very much. Stop complaining and do something yourself, Ted. Reduce the capital gains rate so people have more capital to invest. Cut some of your social welfare programs that leave us wallowing in debt, and stop catering to every big union that is always demanding more and more benefits and ends up bankrupting the company. Ted, you always try to strangle capitalism and then wonder why there are no jobs. Boy. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the lack of available recycling facilities. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Many Americans want to pitch in and recycle, but there are not enough facilities to handle the load. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, to save energy and valuable natural resources, Americans rallied to the cry of recycling. We do it at my house and also in my Senate office. But it seems that willingness to recycle needs to catch up with industry's ability to process materials like newsprint and glass. Only 8 facilities now exist in the U.S. to recycle newspaper. On top of that, so much used newsprint has been collected that its cost has dropped from $40 a ton to zip. Some cities even pay to have it hauled away. Ted, the grand dream of recycling shouldn't turn out this way. Instead of hype and hoorah, provide some incentives that will turn what's been collected into recycled goods. Or is your rhetoric only garbage? Off to the landfill with you.
Al, dry those crocodile tears. The recycling phenomenon is one of the great success stories of the environmental movement. Millions of Americans now understand its importance. They're separating their newspapers, bottles, cans, and plastic from other trash for local collection, or even taking the materials to recycling centers at significant cost in time and effort. Business is getting into the act. Workers who recycle at home are pressuring their companies to do it too. Naturally, any successful new industry has growing pains. Some types of recycled materials are flooding the market and driving prices down. But the mismatch between too much supply and too little demand has a silver lining. The low cost of some recycled materials will stimulate new uses for the materials and generate even larger long-run demand for recycled products. Government incentives can help, Al, but you give too little credit to the environmental movement and private enterprise for their worthwhile accomplishments so far. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the Census Bureau's shocking undercount in the 1990 census. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Census Bureau botched the 1990 census. Can't anybody in this administration count straight? In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, for sheer incompetence, the Census Bureau in the Bush administration takes the cake. They admit that the 1990 census contains a massive undercount, but they refuse to correct it. They missed a total of 5 million Americans. For minorities, especially black Americans, American Indians, and Hispanics, the undercount is even worse. It's off by up to 9%. The right wing may be happy about that, Al, but no one else is. We've all heard about invisible Americans, but this is bureaucracy at its bureaucratic worst. The undercount creates major problems for everything from congressional redistricting to allocating billions of dollars in federal aid fairly to our states and cities. Until 1990, each census in modern history had been more accurate than the one before. Shame on the administration for sliding backward, Al. Was this mess caused by sheer incompetence or partisan corruption?
Well, who would know more about partisan corruption? Ted, don't blame George Bush for the few million people who didn't want to be counted. Instead of encouraging all Americans to cooperate with the census, I well remember how you supported the homeless activists taking to the streets to tell the poor not to answer their questions. You wonder why the count was off? Come on. And when the census takers did go looking for the citizens who didn't mail back their forms, these fine workers made at least 5 attempts to gather correct and accurate information. Ted, nobody botched the job. You just won't admit that there will always be some people who refuse to be counted. Why should some computer estimate take the place of an accurate count of people who did cooperate? Computers run enough of our lives, so don't let them take the place of standing up and being counted. Those who choose to hide out should not always expect government benefits. It's called choices. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. This month, America celebrates the 30th birthday of a great program that even Ted Kennedy and I can agree on, the Peace Corps. In a moment, he and I will face off. Ted, 3 decades ago, your brother Jack gave vision to a program that helps Americans to serve their own country by serving mankind overseas. Since 1961, over 130,000 Americans have answered that humanitarian call, building schools, teaching children, sharing U.S. technology with the third world. Right today, more than 6,000 volunteers are serving in over 80 nations, ranging from Botswana to Poland. Ted, the Peace Corps crosses all party lines with a philosophy that all of us agree on, that the personal human touch can build a better world. Join me in celebrating the Peace Corps' anniversary and work with us to encourage a whole new generation of Americans to keep this noble dream alive.
Nice words, Al. A welcome change from your isolationist view of the world. In a sense, the Peace Corps internationalized America. It was one of the best new ideas of President Kennedy's New Frontier. We couldn't go back to Fortress America now, Al, even if you wanted to. President Kennedy knew that sometimes he might have to send in the Marine Corps, but he always knew that he would rather send in the Peace Corps. From the beginning, it was a two-way street. Volunteers got back more than they gave. A new generation of Americans acquired a deeper understanding of the world. Former Peace Corps volunteers are now serving in Congress and the executive branch, as ambassadors and diplomats, as educators, healthcare workers, teachers, and in business. They've become outstanding leaders in many fields. The Peace Corps has had a great 30 years, Al, and may the next 30 years be even greater than the first. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the Bush administration's distressing habit of rubbing salt in the nation's wounds on race. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The U.S. Civil Rights Commission has called on President Bush to reject using racially divisive tactics in the 1992 campaign. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, President Bush and the Republican Party are feeling the heat these days because of their unseemly tactic of fanning racial flames in political campaigns. Last month, in a major address, Senator Bill Bradley of New Jersey took President Bush to task for his opposition to civil rights and for resorting to the use of the notorious Willie Horton TV commercial in the 1988 campaign. Now, fearing a repetition in 1992, the respected bipartisan U.S. Civil Rights Commission, led by Bush appointee Arthur Fletcher, has made the same point. All 8 members of the commission have unanimously called on President Bush and other candidates to take the high ground and reject the use of vicious campaign tactics that polarize the country and rub salt in the nation's wounds on race. Sound advice, Al. Will President Bush heed it?
Bush and racism. What a low punch in the groin, Ted. The Willie Horton issue was about crime, not race. It was about a weak Democrat governor who was so soft on crime that he let a cruel, vicious criminal out of the slammer on a weekend pass, a little holiday that Horton used to rape an innocent victim. A Democrat primary opponent brought it up first, not Bush. Ted, I think it's shameful for one like you to use the issue of race to hide how soft-headed you are on coddling dangerous criminals. You let them out to hurt others again when society has every reason to believe they will rape or kill again. And I guess what you're telling me, Ted, is that President Bush should have chosen a criminal who was white instead of one who happened to be black. And, Ted, that would be racism in reverse, and it's but one more example of how politically correct you want everyone to be. So that's freedom, huh? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on Castro's blackmail of his own citizen. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. (Laughs) This is Senator Al Simpson. The State Department has stopped the issuing of tourist visas for Cubans until Castro gets his circus act together. In a moment, Ted Kennedy and I will face off. Ted, Cuba has been going straight downhill for years. Decay that speeds up as Eastern Europe and the Soviets pull away from Castro. That also puts a lot more pressure on Cubans to leave their marvelous workers' paradise, if only temporarily. Applications for tourist visas from Cubans wanting to come to America have doubled. Instead of showing disgust, Castro is laughing all the way to the bank. The reason being that he extorts $1,000 from each and every Cuban as a condition of letting them apply for that precious U.S. visa. Ted, the State Department put the brakes on this bit of blackmail and told the bearded boob no more visas until he stops extorting his little departure tax on his miserable subjects. I say good for the State Department.
Al, I never expected you, of all people, to go soft on Castro. You and the State Department are playing his game. Castro would like nothing better than unleashing another human exodus on Miami, just like a decade ago. Old Gringo Simpson is giving him the perfect excuse. That's exactly what will happen if we refuse to let Cubans visit families and friends in America. The best way to encourage reform and democracy in Cuba is for Castro's victims of repression to visit Miami and breathe the air of America. They'll take a new vision of democracy and free enterprise back to Havana and bring Cuba closer to the change we all seek. Sure, we should do what we can about Castro's bribery and extortion. That's a problem we face with other dictators, too. But it's wrong to solve that problem by keeping families apart and denying innocent Cubans an unprecedented chance to see America's democracy up close. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on cigarette advertising targeted at teenagers, women, and minorities. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Massive tobacco advertising in urban neighborhoods is a public health scandal. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, the federal government is doing the dirty work of the tobacco industry, and it's got to stop. Under a long-standing federal law, states and local governments are prohibited from regulating tobacco advertising. No other unsafe consumer product has that protection, and tobacco shouldn't have it either. Cigarette companies are literally getting away with murder. Walk down any urban street, and it looks like Tobacco Road. Seductive cigarette ads on billboards and buses as far as the eye can see. The closer to schools, the better. Saturation advertising in minority neighborhoods. It's not hard to see why. The tobacco industry is cynically targeting teenagers, minorities, and women to encourage them to smoke. Federal law has no business being an accomplice in those disgraceful tactics, Al. Let's repeal the federal prohibition and give local governments the power to restrict that kind of deadly and malicious tobacco advertising.
Ted, this has nothing to do with advertising. Why not just simply admit you'd like to outlaw cigarettes altogether and put your cards right out on the table? I might join you. But no, instead of doing that, you try to sneak in restrictions on advertising. Putting two obscure paragraphs in your 65-page Senate bill, it don't make any sense. Ted, the problem I have with your vaguely worded legislation is that it would create utter chaos for national magazines that publish tobacco ads. Without thinking through all of the consequences, your law would make Time or Newsweek illegal in a small town which passes a local tobacco ad ban. Maybe the Surgeon General ought to come out with warning labels against senators who get too loose with the facts, and I know just where we could place your sticker. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off next on the need to tighten a coordinated effort on the war on drugs. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.